With our hearts open unto you, Yahweh, we bow in your presence as we begin this Shabbat, this Shabbaton unto our Abba. We pray to the certain sound of your shofar. That we may enter into the bayat of our Abba to worship and to acknowledge you for all things, as you have carefully watched over Israel. You have brought us to this tabernacle, the place whereby your Ruah, your Hashem, your name, is the strength and the pillars of this fellowship. So we bow unto you with our hearts open. You will pour out the power of your Ruah upon the house that you have called. You have elected according to your purpose. It is your desire to show tough things unto Israel. If we would it hear and obey your commands, do all that you instruct us in, for we shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of waters, and the fruit shall bear in due time, there shall be an abundance. We shall not succumb to the powers of the world today, given over unto the oppression, suppression, the depression, the powers that rule in the minds of men. But we will be led by your Ruah, because those that are led by the power of the living truth, for these are the sons of Yah. We have a living truth. We have a living Torah, a hope. In Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel, the living word of Almighty Yah. So we ask that you strengthen us all today, our brothers and sisters scattered throughout the nations of the world, to look upon them and to strengthen them mightily, that they may have the assurance of the Tikvah, the hope, Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. So we pray for them, those that are in conditions that are very trying, men like Pastor Babu there in India, Elder Martin there in Kenya, Elder Stevens there in Nukura, Kenya. Your blessings upon Pastor Aji there in Ghana, the fellowship of the true believers there. We do pray for the restoration of the strength. Sister Leticia, that you will strengthen Sister Mary and the hosts of the fellowship there. We do look unto you for all things. We pray that you will grant unto us the deliverance and the words of deliverance that make us free to truly worship you, to bow down before you, our Abba. Strengthen those that are listening via live stream of the internet and whatever form they may hear this message in. We pray that you will strengthen them and bless them. We do trust you for all things. We do wait upon you, Almighty Yah. Your healing virtue in the house of Israel the living man and the bread of life, that we shall dine on this day and eat. We can rest in the assurance of the word of Almighty Yahweh. Strengthen every heart. Cause the praises to rise up unto the Shemayim. And we shall worship you in Ruah, but in the power of the living Torah, as you gave unto Aharon and Moshe, your house Israel, one and complete, led by the power of your ordinance, your direction, in a living way, in a powerful way, by the strength and the truth and the power of your Ruah, your spirit. We know that you are a Ruah. Those that truly worship you must move beyond the natural carnality of their philosophies and their thinking, their religious austerity. Move into the realm of the Ruah, that their eyes are not blinded, that they have anointed their eyes with eyesight, that they may see, that they may see the eternal power of our great Abba. We do Shabbat you today. We shall worship you. Let this house be filled with the praises of Almighty Yahweh. We ask you in the mighty name of Yahshua, the Lamb of Israel. We do trust you for the great Teshuah, the victory this day. Israel with one voice cried, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands. Come on, lift your voices unto Yah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. For we do, Yahweh, we thank you today, Yah, for this time of assembly. We may gather ourselves by the leading of your Ruah into the bayat of our Avon to bless you and to worship, to praise our Heavenly Father, our Abba. We know that you are the Most High One, and there is none higher than you, Yah. So as we gather, we do barak you, we toda yada Yah, all that you have done for this occasion, that we may come before you. So we ask you in HaMashiach's mighty name to receive the offering of Torah unto you, thanksgivings, as we bless you this day. Bless the ears of the hearers, that we may hear and comprehend all that you command. We ask it all in Yahshua's mighty name. Israel cried, hallelujah, hallelujah. Look to your neighbor and say to them, Shabbat Shalom. May Yah strengthen you today and cause you to be a lively hope. Yahweh blesses you. You may be seated. How wonderful it is. I do hope that this microphone works today, because there is something that I do want to express unto Yisrael, that we may hear what Yah speaks unto his house. It is vitally important that we can hear. And not only hearing, wisdom is principle. But in all our getting, we should shemak, understand what Yahweh speaks unto Yisrael. Without the understanding, then you will never sense the fruit of Yahweh in your life. The things of Yahweh will not be practical in a spiritual manner. And when it is spiritual, it is alive. It is valuable to you. It is important. And we have heard the word of Yah, but yet it is through the form of the letter. And because we perceive it that way, it has no interaction or no action in our being. And that is why we are falling short. We cannot meet the mark that Yahweh has placed for the house of Israel. We are a people that love sin. We love the pleasure of sin. And sin has a pleasure. That is why Moshe, he forsook Pharaoh's house and all of the abundance He rejected the pleasure of sin, which is only for season. To endure the perils with the people of Yah, because there is an eternal reward. There is something that is far greater than the pleasures of sin. And sin only lasts for a season. It has no enduring power. It simply satisfies a component of the flesh momentarily, and then it causes one to be carried into disillusions. We see that with this pagan festivity that is upon the whole helm of the earth today. The mind of man is consumed with it. They don't even know what they're doing. It is such a religious mindset today, and religion is any kind of practice or form to try to reach the Most High One. And He has given us the way, and the only way whereby we can know the power of His revelation. And it shall never come through any kind of religious practice. It will never come that way. We saw that with Yisrael. Now the question today that I ask us, because there is a plethora of doctrines that are out there today, it debunks the authenticity of the word of Yahweh. And because the mind is so corrupt, it questions everything that Yah does. If you look at any incidents in Scripture, you will see those that question HaMashiach, those that question Moshe and Yah, there was an ulterior motive in their own hearts. It was not pure to the cause. It was not for the service of Almighty Yahweh. So we find this Greek mentality today that is always inquiring to promote oneself as knowing and as all-knowing, and yet there is no profound evidence of the power of Yahweh in their lives. Because when a man has that power, he is free from the power of sin. He is free. He is not bound and shackled to the leading of sin. And this is a nation, a generation of people that take great pleasure in sin. They transgress the Torah of Yah continuously, and they do it forthrightly without any conscience of their sin. It is either that Yahshua HaMashiach is a methodical form of a, quote, God, unquote, or He is the authenticity of the remission of the sins of the people of Yahweh. We have the doctrines today, and they call themselves Hebrew Israelites. They are not the seed of Israel. You have those that deny certain components of Scripture, and you have it from the Caucasian perspective, as well as those that are diversity of complexion or color of skin. You have it all from every perspective. And they are very adamant in their precepts and their concepts of what doctrine literally teaches. But it doesn't teach this erroneous, fabricated lie that they're teaching. You have those that say that the renewed covenant has no pertinence to the Torah of the prophets, the Navis. It has no relevance to that at all. So I ask the question today to this vile, corrupt, deceived generation, where is the remission of your sins? How are your sins remitted or forgiven? There must be an atonement for one's sin, and the only way is by the blood. You reject the profoundness of this act of Almighty Yah. Then we must go to the Torah and obey it precisely by the letter. And those that nations look upon as the very seed of the dynamics of the power of Yahweh, those that are in the land of Palestine, Israel, they call it. Yet the hypocrisy and the deceit of the mindset that comes from that nation. Yet they pronounce that they are Torah believers, and yet they are not living the Torah according to the letters. These things that I will read today, they were not denounced in the Torah, nor in the Navis. But we must have a living and a profound way that is beyond the observation. But there's something in the love of man. There's a power that emanates the strength of Almighty Yahweh. And what we see today doesn't emanate that at all. It is a futility. It is frugal. It has no resemblance of the power and the living strength of Almighty Yah. I want to begin in the book of Ibram, Hebrews. Listen to this. Because many today, they denounce Shaul as one that rejected Torah and said that the Torah had no viability in this hour. That is not so. This is a foolish generation. And the reason it is foolish, because it does not possess the mind of HaMashiach. It possesses a carnal mind, and that mind is against Yah. To be carnally minded, to be naturally minded, is enmity. To be a Israelite mind, to be a Greek mind, to be a colored mind, to be a white mind, it is enmity against Yahweh. And that's what we have today. We have this folly, these corrupt minds that think that they have the power to interpret the scripture by their own private interpretation. But scripture is never revealed that way. It's revealed by the power of the Ruah. When a man has the power of the Ruah of Yah, he will hear what Yahweh speaks unto Israel. And he will know us Yahweh. And these words that are going forth today, they have been dissimulated by the powers of darkness to draw men into this illusion because of their natural identity or their fleshly characteristics, to give them this extreme hubris, this prideful mentality. And pride always brings a man down. It destroys every nation. It brings everyone down. It is the power of destruction, because that is what Shaitan had when he rebelled against Almighty Yah. He thought that his beauty were far superior than Yahweh. This generation today, they may call his name, and they certainly know his name. The enemies of hell know that, and they tremble at that name. It doesn't mean that they are in complicit compliance to the name, or what the name represents, or what the authority of the name. It doesn't mean that they're in compliance with that. Nor is this generation. It is one of the most heathenistic, most rebellious generation upon the face of the earth. Never has there been one like this one. Never. There's not another one like this one. That's why everything is going to be culminated, and we can see that at the culmination of every kind of vile spirit, from the beginning with Adam and Eve, from Nimrod to David, every vile spirit that has ever been in the earth, we see the culmination and the unity of power in the earth today. That's why the mind of man is twisted. That's why there's no living power of the Torah of Yah in this generation. It is only the seed of the woman, the remnant, that Yahweh is going to deliver. And that's it. No one else. No one else. He's going to save Israel, his house. And that, what we call in the land of Israel, do I believe that there are some that are Israel, the true Hebraic seed? Truly I do. Do I confess that that nation and those that are there are the remnant of Yah? No, sir. I do not believe it. Not one bit. Nor do I believe those that are in this nation or the Anglo nations are the seed of Israel. Nor do I believe the ones that call themselves the Hebrew Israelites, that because they believe that they are under the curses, that they are the true seed. Nor do I receive that. It is not so. I'm in complicit appliance in Devarim 28, the first 12 verses. Hallelujah. And that beyond that does not signify the people of this America at all. Because we do not suffer the famine and the trials like those in other nations. We do not. It is a generation of hypocrisy. It is one that is very hubris, full of pride. And they want to identify with some kind of identity. Identify with HaMashiach. I take the stand that Yahshua took. I take the same stance. And I will not capitulate that for any man, any ethnicity. Because all flesh is as grass. It has no value at all. The white flesh decays and stinks. just like any flesh of color. It rots away. And it goes back to the dust of the earth. That's what it does. There is no power in the grave whether you are a rich man or a poor one. Whether you are a Hebrew or a Greek. There is no power at all in the grave. There is only one assurance to true Israel that there is a tikvah, there is a hope of a resurrection. That is the strength of the true seed of Israel. So the doctrines today say you denounce the renewed covenant. You don't even need anything. And yet they are not in complicit compliance with what is written in Torah. There is and must be a remission of sin. And there is only one way. So the hypocrisy of those that call themselves Yadins, Jews, it is a fraudulent false one. Because they don't even practice what is in the book. That's why we have a renewed power. There is nothing new in the earth. It is just that Yah, because when he made man, he gave him the mind to understand the living power of his Torah. He did. He enabled him to have that mind. Yet Adam could look upon Yah because he visited him every day. And because of this transgression, no man can look upon Yahweh and live, because there's always a vile element there. You can't look upon him and live. So he gave him a mind that was consecrated and pure. It was a living mind. It was a mind of life. This what we call life today, this is not life. We don't even have physical life. The life of Adam and Yah's creation, it emanated the power of the living, powerful, almighty Yahweh. And that is what Yahshua did. Turned to Abraham, Hebrews chapter 9. Now I want to do this kind of methodically, deliberate. I want to take a pace, because that's slower than I usually do. Because I want to read quite a bit. But I want you to be reminded of these verses that you can go back and re-examine them. And see whether this man of Yah is of course, whether he is spouting a doctrine or a truth that he perceived that is a truth from the book, and that he is in error. Now, if it is the living power of Yahweh's truth, then we better adhere to it. We better obey it. This is a generation that you can't justify anything. The homosexuals do it. The racists do it. Regardless of their ethnicity, they justify that. Hallelujah. Our identity is in Almighty Yahweh in Yahshua. He is the living word. It was the word of Yah that was made flesh. It was the power of his word made alive that it may live in the bodies of his people. This is a living Torah. Not a Torah of letters that man perceive and he looks at it and he still defies the very order and the statutes of Yah. He said, I cannot allow them to digress. There must be a progression in Israel that the heathens of the world may know that they serve the living Yah. They realized that when Yahweh brought Israel out of Mizraim, Egypt, did they not? He got honor upon his name. He restored the power and the luster of his name. That his name began to radiate throughout the nations of the world. He is going to deliver his house, and they're going to come into the true Bayat, the tabernacle, and they're going to truly worship Yah. Truly in Ruah and in the power of the truth, the Torah. Men today, they do not have the living power of Torah. They're very educationally, they are very sharp with the letters of it. But it doesn't produce anything out of them. Debating. That's what it produced out of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. The essence. The scribes. Debating. Which theology is more fitting? But the rich young ruler came to Hamoshia. He said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom? He did not say what I say. He said, what does the Torah says? He began to deal with the latter six commandments, loving your neighbor.
He said, I've done all that. He said, yet you lack one thing. You have not shown this pure ahava, this love unto Yahweh. He said, if you believe those now in the mitzvah, he said, go sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and desire the power of the living word. Follow me. Scripture says that he considered that. He went away very sorrowful because he had much. Moshe forsook the riches and the pleasures of Egypt, a sin, to endure the perplexities with the people of Yah. This is a generation that doesn't want to do that. Now look at what Shaul says. We're going to examine this. Now I will not elaborate on each verse because I have quite a few scriptures. And the reason I want to read somewhat today, I will elaborate as I go, is because I want to open up our understanding that we may search the scripture. For we are those that testify that we have the eternal life of the living power of Yah in us. And we literally think we have it. And when one really believes that, then they will search scripture. We are the ones that say we testify of him. Yisrael testify of him. Now when Israel is truly Israel, there's a living power in them and there's a living Torah because it's written in their lives. And it comes alive. Needs no man to teach you what the Torah says. That is why the Ruah and the power of Yahweh draws from those things that are already written and it has heard. That's why we are a generation that's so shallow. We love effeminate men. Men that have no character and strength. That's what effeminate man is. That's why there's a generation of effeminality. That's why the young boys are effeminate today. That's why the daddies, where are the daddies? They are none. They are sires that produce babies. But that doesn't make him a man. Yahweh did something so profound in the beginning. He knew that he could not from the bosom of man bring forth that woe man unless he empowered him with breath and life. And he breathed into him, he became a living entity of Yahweh. So you don't have men today. You have these shallow creatures. They're just like Watson in the field out here. They're bulls. They're bullheaded. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Torah, brother. I will. Thank you kindly. Shaul says in Ibrahim, Hebrews 9, verse 1. Now listen to this closely. These are the things that concern the utensils of the tabernacle of the diet. I want to read, so stay with me, all right? He says, then verily the first priesthood had also ordinance or regulations of worship of Yahweh and an earthly kodosh place. Now that is the first covenant of Yah. That was a place of worship. The service was enacted according to the instruction that Yahweh gave unto Moshe. He says, for there was a tent of meeting. There was a place, a tabernacle, a tent of meeting made. The first, wherein was the menorah, the candlestick, and the table of the showbread, which is called the Kodosh, or Kodosh place. And after the second veil, the area of the tent meeting, which is called the Kodosh HaKedushim, which had the golden censer and the Ark of the Testimony overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the gold pot and the manna and Aharon's rod that budded, and the tables of the testimony. And over it the cherubim of Tefereth of the Ark of Yah, shadowing the mercy seat, of which we won't now discuss that into greater details, is what Shaul says here. You should understand this, so we won't go beyond the proximity that I'm leading you. Because there's something vital I want you to understand. Now, when these things were prepared, the Kohen went also into the Makam HaKodosh, the tent meeting, first tabernacle, to perform the service of Almighty Yahweh. But into the Kodosh HaKodeshim with the Kohen HaGadol along every year, not without the blood of the dam, which he offered for himself, and for the sins of the people every year. Now that is what the Quran did. He went beyond the veil, and he would offer the blood offerings of goats, lambs, turtle doves, whatever was commanded. I want us to understand this, because without the blood there is no forgiveness or remission of sin. It makes no difference how poor you are, because the Ahava of Yahweh was not extended in what we call the renewed covenant. It was there from the beginning. And so we have this expression, the grace of God. It is not the Ahava of Yahweh, the mercy, the kindness. We will show you in the Torah that his Ahava, his honoring, his caring, his long suffering was always there. The Ahava of Yahweh has always been there. He said that this is the order that the priest must fulfill. He must. He has to. Now, was this nullified in the book of Yeshaya or Obadiah? That they denounced this? Was it done away with? Let me move further. I want to show us something. Hallelujah. In verse 7, but into the Kodash HaKodushim with the Kohen HaGadol, along once every year, not without dumb blood, which he offered for himself and for the sins of the people. The Ruah HaKodash therefore signified that the way into the Makam Kodash was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. What he is saying, that to get beyond the veil, and we must get beyond the veil of our carnality. He said it was not made known while the first tabernacle or the tent stood. And now in this hour it has been revealed to Israel. That is why their sins was a continuous practice. And they continued to sin without conscience. And that was sin offerings, whether you were conscious of it, whether you were not conscious. You had to bring the proper offering before Almighty Yahweh. Why do you think the celebration or the keeping of Yom Kippur, the Feast of Atonement, that is what it was for the sin remission of Israel. Their sins were washed away. And that was a process whereby they had to go through in order for their sins to be cleansed. And they were reminded yearly of that at that time, that they had to perform those things under the first tabernacle. And now we have a living tabernacle in Yeshua, the living oracles of Yahweh that abides in the level man by the power of his Ruah, that he doesn't have to be reminded, but the Ruah draws it all to remembrance. It brings life to it. And so man doesn't willingly sin, transgress against Almighty Yahweh. He says in verse 9, he said, I want you to understand these things, which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, having the mind of Yah, the pleasure to serve Yah. It did not make the people perfect. It did not make them in compliance with the Torah of Yahweh. It did not. It did not cause their love, their hearts, to grasp the power of this Torah and to have a love that was so profound that they would not allow the elements of darkness to slither in and prevent their judgment from the statutes, the ordinance, the mitzvah of Almighty Yahweh. That is why the Ruah of that Yah has sent, he will not lead us in error against the profoundness of Yahweh's truth. What we have today is a religious spirit. You find it among every ethnicity, because there's not a race of people, whether they are the Mexicans, whether they are Caucasian, whether they are the dark-skinned people, that they all declare that they are the identity of the seed of Israel. And they all take scripture and use it. Well, the Caucasians take Devarim and they take the first 12 verses and say, that's us. We are doing just that. the ones of color and the complexity of the color, the darker it gets, then you have this kind of even more distorted doctrine. It's not that the Caucasian theirs is distorted and full of hubris, self, pride, of wickedness as anyone else. Do I believe that as the seed of Israel? Why, certainly I do. But it's not those that are declaring that they are Israel. You understand? Because every nation that Yah sent Israel, they prospered in that place. I don't care what it was. They prospered. Even in their bondage, they prospered. Even under the hands of the oppressor, the oppressor, they still prosper. And so the ones of color, they will take all the curses. And if you read that, you will see that it has nothing to do with a seed here in the Americas, one of the most wealthiest people upon the face of the earth. That's what they are. They're wealthy and fat nation that has rejected the Torah of Yah. You'll pray that I finish this today. If I don't, that's all right. But I'm going to press on, okay? I will show you what Scripture says. Your opinion means nothing. Nothing. This is simple. That even a babe can understand. Little children can understand this. If they denounce themselves, their will is not complicated to understand. It's only because this is a wicked, self-righteous generation that has denied the very truth of Almighty Yah. Don't think that HaMashiach did not have the retractors, the rejectors of what he said in the day that he walked. You understand? Don't think that Shaul did not have that. Believe me, if you look at what Isaiah, Yahshua, what he went through, it was an abysmal shame. Jeremiah, the way he lamented and cried for a people that was such a rebellious people of whoredom and sin, that they rejected the truths of Almighty Yah. That's the mindset of this generation. That this man weep. And Hoshea to express the very vile nature of whoredom in a house. What they had been reduced to. Israel went after every quote God unquote there was. You find that in this nation and the nations of the world. Because there is no restraint when one seeks after gods. When one truly commits to Yah, there is a restraint. You don't have to be reminded of the restraints. There's a conviction in one's love, in his heart, that will constrain him, that will direct his path, that will bring him into the mercy seat, the throne room of Almighty Yahweh. And he will know where he is, and he will present unto him the offerings of sacrifices that will bring a sweet savoring smell unto his Abba. Religion doesn't require that. It is one's own self-determination, interpretation, who they choose to serve and what they choose to fulfill. That is not the power of Almighty Yah. It doesn't lead us to the strength of his order. Leads us estranged and far away from him. We can see that in Scripture that Israel was led so far away. Her sins were so repulsive, so vile. Look at your own life and see your sins. Their minds were captivated by the idolatry worship. A worship that drew them away from Yahweh. This is a nation of idolatry. And the power and the seed of this nation, it permeates throughout every country. I don't care where you go, you're not going to hide from what is about to come upon the face of this earth. I know that there are those that are telling the people that, but they are liars. They're deceivers of men. For what Yah is going to pour out on this earth, the only thing that's going to save us, it is the blood. We're covered. The blood is still sufficient. Well, it's almost heathenistic. He deals with the heathen people. He deals with the fallen heathen people. That's what he deals with. Well, I don't see the relevance in those things or those actions. I know you don't. Yahweh takes the simple things of the earth and He confounds the wise and the mighty. He takes something that is so minuscule that it has no relevance, have no value from perception-wise. But would a man allow the power of the Spirit of Yahweh to interpret or reveal that unto him that he personified with the power of Almighty Yahweh? This is a powerless generation. There's no power to resist, to reject sin. Sin is a transgression of the Torah. And when a man sinned against Torah, there was only one thing that restored him. And it had to be the blood. Had to be the blood. Nothing else. And Torah teaches that. Let me move on. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 9. He said, which was a figure of the time, then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as regarding that which pertained to the conscience. Did not give them kind of conscience to really love Yah and to serve Him. It did not do that. It did not make him that willingness, that purpose, that oneness of Yah. It did not do that. Verse 10, which stood only in meat and drink and divers washing. Now that's all it was. Meat, drink offerings and different kinds of washings and carnal or fleshly ordinance and fleshly related or regulations. That's all they were. Regulations of the flesh. Yahweh's gone beyond that. He's gone beyond that. And what is it? The evil, the power that dwells in us, it regulates everything today. These men had to go constantly and observe and to be reminded of the ordinance of Yah. When a man has the mind of a Mashiach, the ordinance, the order of Yah, it's there in his lips, written. When a man receives the power of the living word, and Shaitan has done a masterful job, he's relegated the minds of the people down to stupidity. They cannot hear. Even the Bereans, they heard. They listened with attentiveness, and they opened their minds to hear. And what they did after that, they went and searched the scripture, the scroll, and see if the things were so, they were written. And because they had heard the living power of it, it was made alive in them. That's why they searched it. Not to dispute it. To say that if this is what I have, is this my assurance, my tikvah? That's what they did. This rebellious generation, it disputes everything. It was that way in HaMashiach's days. It was that way in the days of Moshe. That was the day of Shaul, David. Yah said to him, you go and you destroy Agag. Kill everything. And he compromised the word of Yah. He did. He said, David, I give you everything, whatever you desire. I pray something to you that will bring the kingdom one, make the kingdom one. And out of his sin, he produced this Rehoboam, this rebellious thing that divided and dispersed the kingdom. And that is what is happening today. They think that they are the seed out of the loins of David, but yet they are out of the mindset of Rehoboam. It never brings about any liberation to the people. I listen to these men, they're twisted in their theology, their philosophies, and that's basically all they have, some philosophized form of religious ordinance practice out of the book. There's no living power at all. Intellectually, they can quote historical things, but that doesn't mean a nickel what the rat's dung. It carries no significance, no weight at all. We need the power of the living Torah of Yah. The words that HaMashiach spoke, they were words of the Ruah. And they were full of life. These words today you hear men speak, they have no life in them. It causes a rebelliousness, a rejection of Yah. Cause the mind to turn away even the words that you speak to yourself. Cause you to turn away from Yahweh. When the Ruah of Yah speaks from a man, from that which is written in the Lev, it causes a man to be brought into the oneness with Yahweh. It is mine, pleases Yahweh. He abandons all things to please Him. You have no problem trying to love son, daughter, kinfolks and all that, and not stealing and all that. You don't want to do that. When it comes to dealing with the Abba, to love Him, you have a problem with that. Because what He commands of us, it is not something that is hard or complicated. What has made it complicated is your transgression, your sinful, wicked mind. Trying to analyze it, trying to conceptualize, trying to depict out of it what you want and what you will not receive. And so we have twisted the very way that was simple, that could reform a man and transform him, change him into the very image of Almighty Yah. And now we have this contorted, freaky, twisted mentality that caused men to sin profoundly against Yahweh without conscience of their sin. But a man has no conscience of his sin, something is drastically wrong with him. He's a twisted man. So they seek out some form of religious practice. Well, I have my faith. You have no faith at all, man. You don't even know what faith is. Yah gave every man the measure of his faith. He knows who he is. He believes wholeheartedly in him. He wants you to believe in him and to trust him. And so he gives us an order that calls our footsteps to be ordered, that we will come before his mercy seat and his throne continuously, because there is where we find the assurance and the restitution of Almighty Yahweh. And the reason man cannot do that, because they're laying down with their sins and they're burning down, because there's a remission of their sins. They renounce the power of HaMashiach. There's a remission of their sins. I will show you in Scripture. It makes no difference whether you concur or not. I'm not concerned with that. Not one bit. Shaul said, when I first began to declare the power of this truth, no man stood with me. They all rejected me. They all went aside. And if you declare this truth and you stand for Yah, they will forsake you. They will turn against you. They will not stand with you. We take our rejoicing in that. I know I do. I'm living to see him. Have no other purpose to live. For riches, the superficial, the temporal. It only gives you a temporary pleasure. Then that's loss. And you're seeking for something else. And so you spend your time in this realm of life unto servitude. To what? To some simple pleasure that is momentarily elusive, doesn't last long. That's why you got to continue to seek. It's almost like a junkie on crack cocaine. You're always seeking for the next level. And you will never ascertain it. You will never reach that level. There's only one height that I want to reach. And that is the height of the honor of my Abba. I live for his pleasure. He has given me life for his pleasure. So I live for his pleasure. No other pleasure. No. Shaul goes on to say in verse 10, which stood only in meat and drink offerings and washing and carnal ordinance, these were fleshly regulations, and poles of the Kohen until the time of reformation come. You understand what reformation is? A change. Now that doesn't mean that he's not saying it's an annulling of the Torah. This is not what Shaul's saying. He is saying that there's a time of reformation that is going to come. And you're going to know that this time has come. And you will understand this reforming when Yahweh renews the mind of man by the power of his Ruah. He will be transformed. There shall be a renewing of his mind by his Spirit. He said, until the time of reformation or the change come of the priesthood, that we can go beyond the veil. We can see the power of Yahweh. We don't have to bring a goat or sheep. Because if the Torah is alive in its letters, we're all going to hell if HaMashiach is a mythical false thing. Period. We have missed the boat. And all America is on its way to hell. What we call Yisrael, what we call those that are Yadims, they're on their way to hell. And that is the truth. I will prove it in Scripture. Verse 11, but HaMashiach, being come a Kohen, Ha-Gadol, of tall things, good things to come, listen now, by a greater and a more perfect tent meeting or tabernacle in that body. He brought the greater and the most profound things of Yah, not made with hands now. That is to say, not of this creation or this creation building. neither by the blood, the dam of goats and calves, but by his own dam, his own blood, he entered in once into that place, that kodash, that place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. The goats and the bullocks could not do it. You see, these were tenets, or these were shadows and examples of things that will be fulfilled in this living power of the Word of Yah. And that's what Yahshua is. He is the Word of Yah made flesh. Yahweh is never, he is the Word of Yah. He is Yahweh's bosom heart made flesh. That's what it was. Who did it? Yahweh did it. And he came to the very seed of Miriam. They reject that today too. If Yahweh walked right in here, we saw this invisible man. You would reject that. You see, they will reject it either way. So it went beyond the intellectual capacity of man to astound them. That can't happen. I don't believe that. So he went beyond that, their limitations, to actually just befuddle them, to say, if this is not so, I need to find out if it's true or not. If this has happened, let me search the records. Let me make sure, like the Bereans did. They searched the scroll. They searched the covenant. There was no letters, epistles of Shaul. There were no letters unto the Hebraic people. I know that we use the word Gentiles, but I understand Goyim, what it means. That the nations, they were simply nations. The word Gentiles mean really nations. It's just nations of people that their minds are not in tune with Yahweh. And the Israelites, their minds were not in tune with Yahweh. And they were in every extremity of the world at that time. Well, Shaul was sent to the Gentiles. He was sent to a people that had rejected Yah, a people that had dispersed from Yahweh. He was sent to Israel. He was sent to a people of nations that were foolish, just like we are in this nation. We are a foolish, dumb, jackass nation. Even those that call themselves the sons of Yah, we are the most ignoramuses upon the face of the earth. The wicked, this generation, they're wise. They're wiser than the people of Yah. They're more wiser to do evil and to be very unscrupulous than we are to do righteous. That's what they are. The messages, that word Gentile is simply a oxymoron, if you may say. It's just a word they use. It's, okay, we're Gentiles. Well, who? Those that call themselves Israel are Gentiles. That's what they are. They're heathens. They are foolish nations. They are people without the knowledge of Almighty Yahweh. And in every nation you had a seed, a remnant of Israel. You had a people of Yah in every nation. They began to disperse. Why? Because of their sins. They wanted to get as far as where they could from the center. It's almost like a child when they leave home. They want to get as far away as they can from the neutrality what parents or mom or dad brought unto them. And the farther they get away, the more malice fill their hearts, the more corrupt they become, whereby they think that there's no one to control me or no one can see me. And they feel like distance is a way of no one observing me. And that is the Gentile mindset of Israel. There are those that say they're Israel, and yet they have a Gentile mind. Yet the matter of the Gentiles, it is against Yahweh. This matter in America has been trained by to be a Gentile. This is a nation of Gentiles. This is a nation of Gentiles that have been trained in the Gentile manner, mannerism, attitude. That's how this nation has been trained, a greed, and a scrupulous, a greedy nation. It's been bound that way, it's been trained that way. Sure it has. That's why Shaitan set up his institutions of what we call higher learning. And yet they're the most foolish people upon the face of the earth. You tell me you pay $50,000 or $100,000 to get an education to make you a slave, you're an ignorant man and a foolish woman. Your stupidity, that's your hubris, that gives you a sense of being something. How stupid this world is, how they have trained this Gentile mentality. It is one that is stupid. You become an indentured servant, you're a slave. That's what our parents taught us. Go to school, get a good education, get a job. In that era, that's what they taught us. They knew nothing else. Just become a dignified slave. That's all you become. And that's all they become, a dignified, pompous, arrogant, suit-wearing slave. I don't care what their ethnicity is. There are powers that be that rule. We that are at the law level, what we call the law spectrum, what they call us. And that is what Israel was. It was on the law spectrum. It was not on the pedigree. It didn't have the kind of pedigree. The Hittites and the Havasites. And Jebusites and Philistines. They were nothing. The navel cord wasn't even cut. Putrefied, full of stench. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's why our birth today, it hasn't been the birth of Yahweh. It hasn't. We have not received our nutrition from Him. It's been something of our hereditary heritage. I'm born of the Ruah of my Abba. I'm a son of Yah. I'm a child of the Most High. Hallelujah. And that is the only thing that value. That isn't worth anything. Everything else is, it means nothing. I'm telling you. You're not going to die and take anything with you. He says in verse 13, for the blood of the bull, the dam of the bull and goats, and the ashes of the red heifer, sprinkle the defiled or the unclean, sanctified or set them apart to the significant, to the purifying of the flesh. Now he asks the question, how much more than the blood of HaMashiach? It set them apart to the cleansing of the flesh. He said that's what he did. It just set them apart for the time being. Because they always went back to their sins. I will show you. He said, who through the eternal Ruah offered himself without blemish, without any kind of spot to Yahweh, purge your conscience. Now that is what he does. He purged the conscience. It never purged their conscience. The blood of the goats never purged their conscience. It went right back and sinned willfully. He purged our conscience from dead works to serve the living Yahweh, the living Abba. And for this cause, he is the mediator. He is the one that stands in proxy. He is. For the belief, the covenant, that by the means of his death, for the redemption of the sins that were under the first belief, the first covenant, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator, the one that enacts the testament or the will. For the belief, the testament is of no force, is the force after men are dead. Otherwise, it has no strength at all while the testator lives. For this reason, not even the first belief was dedicated without blood. For this reason, not even the first covenant. There was blood that brought about the dedication. The first covenant. It had to be the dam, the blood of bulls and goats and bullocks. Verse 19. For when Moshe has spoken every precept, every commandment of Yah, to all the people according, listen now, to the Torah, took the blood, the dam of calves and of goats, with water and scarlet wood and hyssop, and sprinkled both the dam or the blood upon the straw, the books, and he sprinkled it upon all the people. The blood. This is the blood of the new or the renewed or the brief testament which Yahweh has enjoined us, has made us a part of. Moreover, he sprinkled the blood on the tent of the meeting tabernacle and all the vessels of the service of the ministry. And almost all things, not some, almost all things are by the Torah purged with blood. It must be. That is the only way it is purged by blood. All things by the Torah. You hear that? It calls for the blood offering for it to be purged. And without the shedding, and without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Your sins remain. You cease to live in a carnal and a corrupt way without the shedding of blood. Without the shedding of blood. no remission. Now these preposterous, they're false. They believe the Torah, but they reject HaMashiach. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. Without the blood being shed, there is no remission of sin. Everything in the Torah was purged by blood. It was not purged by water, but by the blood. They had the ordinance of the washing and the cleansing, but the power of purging came by blood. And every blood offering was significant because it alluded to the fulfillment of all things. And the power of the word that was given unto Moshe, he spoke because their minds were carnal, they could never understand. And now he gives us a living word of the power of Yahshua. And we always consider him because he is our example. That's why we don't get weary. That's why we don't faint. Because we remember him. And all the indignant things that he endured. And he suffered. So we don't get weary. We don't faint because of opposition. We don't faint because of pressure. Without the blood, there is no forgiveness. There is no cleansing of sin. And the Torah today still teaches that. It has not changed. It has not changed one iota in the Torah. What has gave or brought, given us the power of this revelation is that we have a living way. And it is a living word. And that's what Yahshua is, the living word of Yah. That's why people read today, they have no power of the life of it. It doesn't produce anything at all because they're trying to, as I said, they're trying to extrapolate from it with their own intellectual prowess. And we're a bunch of dumb jackasses, as I say that, brothers and sisters, to express the urgency and the importance to hear what Yahweh says. There was an old proverb that our parents would say, you become an educated fool. You got the education, but you're a fool. And a fool, he wastes everything. A fool can't hold anything in his hands. A fool, he is just foolish. Put money in a fool's pocket, it goes out of his pocket like water. That's what a fool is. A fool is a pleasure seeker. That's what it is. And that's what education has done. We need the mind. We need the mind. Don't worry about the education. You need the mind. You need the mind today. The education produces nothing. It's the mind that produces. Hallelujah. But the educated retards what this world has produced. And this nation has an abundance of them. Sure does. Has an abundance of educated retards. Dysfunctional. You cannot even perform the menial, simple things. We cannot. Hallelujah. So without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no pardon. You're still in the same bondage. There is no forgiveness. You're still in the same imprisonment. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. He goes on to say, and listen to this. I want you to hear this. You don't have to worry about church, but hear this. And Solomon was a wise man, wasn't he? He says this in Mishnah, Proverbs. Write it down. Proverbs 5:22. Listen to what he says. He says, his own, he's talking about the wicked and the fool, his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be held with the cords of sin. Now that's what a wicked, foolish man, his own sins, they are cords that bind him. Bring him under bondage. Your own wickedness, your own sins are the cords that cause you to be bound. Whom HaMashiach makes free is free. Free to acknowledge Yah, to worship, to be Torah, to Yada Yah. It is the sins of the wicked man that binds him with cords that he is not free. Why? Because there is no remission. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And this wicked generation, they're bound by their religious statements and their religious identity. And they're bound to sin. That's why they're still doing what they did when they didn't even know the name of Yah. They're walking the same way. They're doing the same thing. When Yahweh comes into a man's life, there's a transformation. There's a change. He reforms a man. He reforms his identity. He transformed him. His expression, his look is not the same. He doesn't even look the same. His appetite is not the same. His mind is not the same. We have these fools today, and that's what they are. the fools. You call no man fool, no brother. Now that's what they are. A fool says in his lamp, there is no power in serving Yah. Hallelujah. So Yah doesn't contradict himself. He's like those that think that, well, you make images or you draw on that. Well, that's a sin. Well, if you went to the mercy seat of Yah, he had cherubims, beautiful colors, and these images there. This is a stupid, ignorant generation. They don't want to be taught. They interpret scriptures on their own, and they don't even search scriptures and see what they saw. They had inlays of leaves and beautiful carvings in the house of Yah. It was a beautiful place because they misinterpreted scripture. Well, if you shave your beard, they got all these false, erroneous interpretations of scripture. I just believe a brother should grow a beard because Hamashiach had one. He gave his face and they plucked his hair. Hallelujah. That spirit was injected into Israel and Yosef. Was in Potiphar's house. The first thing he had to do before he went to see the king, he had to shave. He had to look a little effeminate. Yah put that on a man for that purpose. He did. So he shaved him, cleaned him up before he was allowed to see him. That's the truth. It's in the book. As Bishop Banks would say, it's in the book. Hallelujah. It's in the book. Hallelujah. The scripture doesn't mandate that, but I believe it's the right thing for men to do. Hallelujah. Come on, I know what the world tells you. That doesn't look nice. When I worked at IBM, I recall one day, scrolling my beard. Of course, George Clay was a third line manager. He looked at me and he said, what is that, Dave Roberts? Of course, well, what do I do? You shave. What are you growing there? Well, of course, I had to shave because he didn't like beards. So in order for you to progress, you have to toe the line. If you understand what I'm saying. All right, then. You got to toe the line. And if you don't toe the line, then you're in trouble. Hallelujah, that's just it. Without the remission of, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sin. No whatsoever. His own iniquities, the sins of the wicked, they are the cords that hold him. What holds you down from loving Yah? Your own sin, because there's no remission. Yochanan says, if we confess our sins, Yahweh is faithful and just. If we just confess them, to forgive us and to cleanse us of all of our unrighteousness. If we confess it. Now this is a generation that confesses nothing. It lies. It pretends. But it doesn't confess. Well, what has that to do with remission? The cleansing. I want to show you something, brothers and sisters. I want you to turn to Wa'ira. To Leviticus. Chapter 4, verse 22. I want you to see what scripture says. What it began here, and it begins with those that are in the hierarchy of authority and power. And I want to begin here. I may not finish this today, but I will in the process of time, because it is vital that we understand the simplicities of truth. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. It says in Leviticus chapter 4, verse 22, it deals with here with the ruler. It says, when a ruler has sinned and done something through ignorance against any of my mitzvah, any of the mitzvah of Yah, his sovereign ruler, concerning the things which should not be done, and is guilty. So when a man sins, he said, if a ruler sins, he has sinned against Yahweh through ignorance, because he doesn't know, he doesn't understand. He said that there's a way that you reconstitute things. There's an order. And there's a way that it is done. Or if he sinned, wherein he has sinned, he comes to the knowledge of his sins, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a male without blemish. Now that is the process. That has not been nullified. If a ruler sinned, there must be a shedding of blood for the cleansing of the sin. He said, this is the order. Whether he is conscious or knowledge of it, when he becomes knowledge of it, he must follow this process. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offerings before Yahweh. Why? Because it is a sin offering. Now I wonder if Mr. Olmert, with the tenacity of his Knesset, When they bombed the hell out of Lebanon and killed the many, you understand that there were seeds of Israel in Lebanon. They were children of Yahweh. And he killed those people. I wonder if those Orthodox, or the Orthodoxy of Israel, we call Palestine, if they came before Yah because he sinned, thou shalt not murder. You don't murder a man. Because of an infraction, there were cities of refuge, and that people were in a refuge, a place where they as a people were not encroaching upon them. And he destroyed them. So I wonder if those pompous intellectual rabbis got a kid goat without blemish, and they brought it to the tent, and they offered it up for Mr. Omer. Because without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. And those in that Zionist mentality, that aggressive behavior, because the sin not only was for the leader, but there was an offering for the people as well. Did they bring the blood offering for the remission of their sins before the people? How much she is the assurance of our remission of sins? No one else. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. So it was not just to the people, but the leaders as well. And the Kohen shall take the dam, the blood of the sin offering with his finger, and he put it upon the horn of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar for the burnt offering. The leader, for one sin, but one went beyond the mitzvah of Yah, he had, and it always began at the head. If you have a false leader, you're going to be false. If you have a greedy leader, you're going to be greedy. You have a homosexual, we had a perverted leader, Mr. Clinton, in this nation, and we have seen the perversion of a nation, a people, every kind of whoredom, every kind of sin. Then we have this little pompous booger eater, Mr. Bush, liar and deceiver, corrupt. And so you got people doing that today. They're bug eaters. Anything that is foul and filthy from their own bodies, it's almost like a cow when a cow chewing the cud, he gurgitates it and chews it again and swallows it again. That's what this nation is doing. The people. It makes no difference of the ethnicity, who they classify themselves as. It is a filthy people. It is an unclean people. It's a rebellious people, it's a sinful people that transgress against Yah. There's no living power of His truth in them. You're always trying to explain the reason why they sin. It's not a true repentance. They're not saying to Yah, I'm sorry. They don't do that. There's a corruption in this generation. Hallelujah. Now he said, this is the order of the ruler. Now look what he says to the people in chapter 4 and verse 27. Now to those that say the renewed covenant has no power, are they following this order? It is still alive. He says in the 27th verse, and if any one of the common, does it say that in your text, common? If any one of the just a common, I'm a common man, a common people sin through ignorance. You didn't understand the power of Torah. You were not aware of what he said. You were not aware of my ordinance and my statutes. You did it through ignorance. While he does something against any of the mitzvah of Yah concerning the things which he ought not to do or have done, and he is guilty. Or if his sin, which he has sinned, come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering. He must bring that offering. When a man sins, you must bring an offering. Thank you, Yah. HaMashiach, for he has paid the price on the altar once and for all. This is the offering he must bring. And you don't have a kid goat in Detroit, Michigan. You don't have one of these in Miami. You don't have this in Washington, D.C. Hallelujah. He must bring a kid of a goat, a female without blemish, for his sins which he has sinned. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the sin offering. And slay the sin offering in the place of the burnt offerings. And the Kohen shall take the blood, the dam thereof, with his finger, and he put it upon the horn of the altar of the burnt offering, and shall pour it all the blood thereof at the bottom of the altar. And he shall take away the fat thereof, as the fat is taken away from off the sacrifices of Shalom, the peace offering. And the Kohen shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savoring to Yah. HaMashiach is the sweet savoring smell of Yah for the offering of Yisrael. And the Kohen shall make an atonement. He shall make an atonement for him, and it shall be forgiven him. And if he bring a lamb for the sin offering, he shall bring a female without blemish. Listen. And he shall lay his hands upon the head of the sin offering and slay it for the sin offering in the place where they kill the burnt offering. The Kohen shall take away the dam of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horn of the altar, the burnt offering, and pour out the dam, therefore, in the bottom of the altar. And if he shall take away the fat thereof, and the fat of the lamb is taken away from the sacrifice of Shalom offering, and the Kohen shall burn them upon the altar according to the offering made by fire to Yahweh, and the Kohen shall make an atonement, a kafar. Now that is what the Kohen does. That's what HaMashiach has done. He has made a kafar. What is that? Now I know it doesn't use propitiation in the old covenant, but that is what the kafar is. He must have a kafar. It is a covering. It is a purging. It is the propitiation, what he uses in the renewed covenant. He shall have a kafar for his sins that he has committed, and he shall be forgiven his sins. He shall present that offering of blood. And in that is the kafar. It is the kafar, the propitiation, the price that is required to be paid in full. And he must bring that before Almighty Yah when his sins are forgiven. Now, if a man sins today in Israel, if he goes out and kills a Palestinian, if a man goes out and says he loves Yahweh, he commits adultery with another man's wife. Yet, where is the remission of that sin without the blood offering of the Torah, the letter of the Torah? Where is it? His sins remain. And we know that if any man sins, he is of the devil. If any man sins, any man transgress Yah, he does it willingly with disdain. He is a child of hell. His birth of hell. If any man sin consciously, willingly, knowing that what he's doing is wrong, it's like a man just flat out telling a lie. You know you're lying, don't lie. Just retract and say, I lied. And there's a covering for that sin. HaMashiach is the covering. Without HaMashiach, our sins, all of our sins remain. I don't care what these religious prostitutes say. They do that for men to draw men onto their doctrine, to corrupt them. What are you doing? I'm not trying to draw anyone. Yahweh is one that draws those that are his. I can't draw anyone. I'm not trying to. Don't want to draw anyone. Yahweh will draw his people. So he gives us instruction as when one that the people, when we transgress against Yahweh, what is the offering or how we should go about this? Where did I stop, brothers and sisters? 35. All right. Yeshua 35. All right, verse 35. The kafar, the covering, the purging. One that make reconciliation. Turn quickly to Romans. See what I want to show you something in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. Verse 23.